Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Krishna svadamo bhagate dhamiganadi bisaha kalanda sadashamesha parano konunodita. Narayana namaskrityanam chaivam narottama devim sarasatim vyasam tato jayam udirayat. The Bhagavatam says, Brihadas of the Sun is written just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied with knowledge, religion, etc. Persons who have lost their vision through the dense darkness of the age of Kali should get light out of this Purana. Before beginning our study of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, we should first offer our respects to the personality of God in Narayan, to the Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, the goddess of learning, Mother Saraswati, the author, Shri Vyasadeva, and my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. I got to shape up, the temple president's here. I'm really in a tough spot. I've got the head of the sannyas ministry and my fellow GBC member on one side, and I've got Panchagoda Prabhu on the other. I'll have to be very careful.
We're recording this.
Yeah, I get questions. I give class in Vrindavan and get, you know, goes around the world. Actually, we're very fortunate. I can tell you to have a good temple president. And he has to be strong. It's a tough thing being a temple president. To have a good temple president is Krishna's mercy. You need one. You really do. Otherwise, it's chaos. So,
I came in at the wrong time.
And Prahlada Nandamarsh, the head of our sannyas ministry, such a nice, strict, solid sannyasi, friendly person. So, you know, when we look at it, it's easy to find fault. We're going to get into that in a second. It's easy to find fault. And we're not, you know, slap a happy face and everything's great. I'm not saying that. But to have a... Well, I'll finish the thought and then we'll get to class. I was sitting with a very nice sannyasi. Sannyasi, so many nice sannyasi. Nice householders, nice... Don't go mental on me. But I happened to be sitting with a nice sannyasi. And this devotee came... This was in Mayapur just recently. Devotee came up to him and just went off on everybody. These sannyasis, these temple presidents, these lazy householders, these gurukula kids. I was thinking, the guy's going to get a perfect trifecta. I said, the only thing he hasn't offended is the cows. And he said, and I'll tell you another thing about that is cow. I said, these guys hit 100%, you know. So I didn't know what to say. You know, I had my opinions. Get up and move was my opinion. I'll say it was Naranjana Swami. Saintly person. And Naranjana Swami just heard him out. He let the guy run out of steam. And when the guy was finally finished, Naranjana Swami leaned back and said, I can understand that you are expert at finding fault. He said, I think if you study your own heart, you will find sufficient subject matter. Which I thought was just, I'm speaking for myself, obviously, you know. Generally speaking, unless it's our duty to improve someone's service and, you know, and to maintain ISKCON or the temple, okay, then you're the head of the kitchen, somebody burns the sub, you got to say something. But other than that, you know, at least I find for myself, I have sufficient subject matter to keep me busy for lifetimes. So just, you know. Okay, so we are on text 49. Atta nityam anityam Va neha sochanti tad vidaha nanyata shakyate kartum sva bhava sochatam iti ata nityam anityam va neha sochanti tad vidaha Nanyata shakyate kartum Svabhava sochitam iti Hata nityam anityam va Neya sochanti tadvidaha Nanyata sakite kartum. Svabhava sochitamiti. Ata nityam anityam va. Neya sochanti tadvidaha. Nanyata shakite kartum. Svabhava sochitamiti. Ata, therefore, nityam, the eternal spirit soul. Anityam, the temporary material body. Va, or, na, iha, and na means not. Iha, in this world, so chanti, they lament for. Tad, dida, those who are advanced in knowledge of the body and the soul. Na, not. Anyata, otherwise. Shakiti is able. Kartum, to do. Svabhava, the nature. Sochitam, of those prone to lamentation. Iti, thus. Translation, those who have full knowledge of self-realization, who know very well that the spirit soul is eternal, whereas the body is perishable, are not overwhelmed by lamentation. But persons who lack knowledge of self-realization certainly lament. Therefore, it is difficult to educate a person in illusion. Also, you say, those who have full knowledge of self-realization, who know very well that the spirit soul is eternal, whereas the body is perishable, are not overwhelmed by lamentation. But persons who lack knowledge of self-realization certainly lament. Therefore, it's difficult to educate a person in illusion. Purport. According to the Mimamsa philosophers, everything is eternal, nitya. And according to the Shankara philosophers, everything is mitya, or anitya, impermanent. Nevertheless, without real knowledge of Atma, the soul, such philosophers must be bewildered and must continue to lament as sudras. Srila Sukadeva Goswami therefore said to Prikit Maharaj, Shotidya dinirajendra ninam shanta sahasra saha apasyatam atmatat atmatatvam griheshu grihamedinam. Grihamedi. Just for me. For sannyasi. No. I was a householder, by the way. Those who are materially engrossed, being blind to knowledge of the ultimate truth, have many subject matters for hearing in society, O emperor. Second canto, first chapter, text 2. For ordinary persons engaged in material activities, there are many, many subject matters to understand, because such persons do not understand self-realization. One must, therefore, be educated in self-realization so that under any circumstances in life, he will remain steady in his vows. Omaganatam randasya ganagana salakaya jokshushin militangina. Tazirishi Guruve Namaha. So just a little background, because Prabhupada talks about Mimamsa and Shankya philosophy. Mimamsa says everything's illusion. Everything's endless, everything's endless. The material nature is just an endless cycle. You'll never get off it. You'll never solve it. You'll ride up, you'll ride down. So it's like a bicycle. You know, when you ride a bicycle, you got to find the right balance. You know, if you don't go fast enough, you fall over. So really, the material nature is like riding a bicycle. And you just learn from the Vedic injunctions what to do so you can stay on a smooth and at least not too distressing course. You get a little so-called happiness, which Prabhupada compares to a drop of water in the desert. So, and the modern mechanistic scientists say basically the same thing. They say that, look, this material nature, there's no God, there's no one in charge. If there's God, first off, the Mimamsa philosophers say, if there's God, if you act properly, he's obliged to give you a reward. Just like Krishna said to Nanda Maharaj, why do this, you know, worship of Indra? You just worship Govardhan Hill, and because that's what the cows depend on. Forget Indra. You act piously, he's going to send rain. So the material nature works under laws, they believe. And on one hand, it's true. But the maintainer and the one who can intervene, I can tell you a number of stories, but I want to talk about something else, of miracles that happened to devotees. We had a lady who was completely in a coma. She was supposed to die. The family was shocked. It happened all of a sudden. You know, it was Manju Goel who got initiated at the last minute by Radhanath Maharaj, Manjari. So, she's in a coma. The doctor tells me, you know, you better prepare the family. You know, you've got to tell her that she's dying. And I said, you know, you told me she's got about a week, 10 days. Let them go through a little grieving first. I'm not just going to crush them, you know. Give me, you know. Don't worry, we got a plan. He said, well, he said, you priests, you always believe in miracles. So I said, all right, whatever. I'm not going to get in an argument with the guy. So the short version is, after a few days, she's been in a coma for 3 weeks, has not moved, has not spoken. If you know Jindranandana Prabhu, you know Raj from, he chants very loudly. It's nice, very, just, and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. So he was there. Yeah, we had devotees around the clock, so she had somebody with her. So he starts chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. And he notices that particular night, she, you know, she's on the hospital bed, and she's got two little bedsteads, or whatever you call it, little stands. One of them, she's got a picture of Radhanath Maharaj. The other one, she has a nice picture of Radhagirat Hari, our San Diego deities. And he notices that she's trying to roll over and look at the picture, trying to move her head. Then he notices she's trying to roll over the other way and look at the other, you know, her spiritual master, Radhagirat Hari. And she was like fighting her way out of the coma. She started rolling back and forth. And you know, Raj, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. The Filipino nurse came in. You know, it's midnight, 1 o'clock. She hears Raj chanting. What is this? She sees Manju, you know, trying to roll back and forth. She says, what are you saying? He said, I'm chanting the names of God. She says, how does it go? So she starts Hare Krishna, the two of them. Then the radiologist who was working late at night, he comes in and sees that this lady's, you know, coming out of a coma for 3 weeks. So the three of them are Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. All of a sudden she sits up, and I swear to you, she sits up and says, I want a bean burrito. She was hungry, I guess, you know, that's what she said. What can I say? But, you know, and then she was thirsty, and she was riddled with cancer. They said, no, she took a glass of water, no, glug, 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 drank a whole thing of water, you know. She did pass away a couple days later, but it gave her time for her family to adjust. Her daughter flew in. She suddenly, it was very far out. She put everything in order, you know. Krishna gave her a little extra time. But the best part was when she was sitting up and speaking coherently. I said to the doctor, I said, what do you call that? He said, well, sometimes there's a medical phenomena we cannot explain. I said, hey, doc. I said, go home, look up miracle in the phenomena we cannot explain. I said, that's called a miracle, you know. So, but they're thinking, if I just master the laws of physics and I can learn how to pull all the levers, I can make this world heaven on earth. Just learn the laws of physics, break everything, you know, this depends on this, this, 1880, this depends on this, this depends, you know, Shankar philosophy. Ultimately, I'll find the cause of all causes and how it all fits together like a grandfather clock, and I'll know how to manipulate it. You know, it's all like a big soup with time stirring it. That's Shankar philosophy. So they're thinking, you know, just, you're stuck on this merry-go-round, get a good ride. Or, as Prabhupada says, just as a background, Prabhupada says, well, let's say it this way. Oh, that was Mimamsa, excuse me. And Sankhya philosophy is, it's all a dream. It's all temporary, and the best you can hope for is liberation. So with Mimamsa, the best you can hope for is a good ride, like riding a bicycle. You'll never get off the wheel. It's a good ride. And Shankar philosophy, you know, atheistic philosophy, not our Kapila Dev, the best you can hope for is maybe liberation. Prabhupada gave it, I was just listening to a tape, he gave it, I've never heard this example before. I'm sure Prahlad Maharaj has heard it. But Prabhupada compared the desire to merge into the Brahman, or back into the body of the Lord or the Lord's effulgence. He said, suppose you have a child. You're a mother or father and you have a child. And at about 6 or 7 years old, the child says to you, I have such anxiety in life. I don't like school. My friends, the so-called friend, this and that. Can I go back in your womb? How does the mother or father respond to that? It's like, okay, fine, very good conclusion. You know, it's on top of the physical inability that the child wants to negate their identity and merge back. I think, no, well, you know, it's a type of mental psychosis. Something is wrong here. Why isn't the child have some kind of identity and happiness? So really, this idea of merging is simply, in the ultimate issue, it's some kind of mental, Prabhupada calls it spiritual suicide. So those are our two coins. Either way you turn, you know, like Prabhupada, I was saying in Mayapur, if you have stool, Prabhupada give this example, you have a wet side and a dry side. Anyone know which is better? Ladies, anyone want to advocate for the wet side? Any wet side advocates out there? Dry side, hey men, defeat the women. Show your prowess. Anyone want to argue for the dry side? Mukunda Maharaj told me this. They broke into two camps, morning walk, and one side was arguing all the advantages of dry side, easy to clean. I don't know what they had. The wet side, you know, they were all... Prabhupada just began to laugh. Prabhupada said, wet stool, dry stool, it's all stool, either way, you know. So, Prabhupada gives another example. If I want to handle a piece of coal, you know coal, black coal. If I handle it when it's room temperature or cold, what happens? I'm playing with it. What happens? I get all black. Well, I'll heat it up. If I handle it when it's hot, what happens? I burn myself. I get all black. But I also burn myself. So either way, hot or cold, coal is not meant to be handled. In a similar fashion, one who's intelligent looks up, Mimamsa philosophy, Sankhya philosophy, merging, trying to manipulate the levers by... It's all futile, and it's just wet stool, dry stool. Kijai. So do we leave people there? It's kind of a, you know, it's like dropping somebody off in the middle of the desert. Bye. Hope you find a ride. I mean, is that where we leave humankind? So, I guess I'll say this, because I'm thinking of the time. And again, Prabhupada says, Sataputta Prabhu. I can tell this joke because it's from Sataputta Prabhu. Sataputta is one of the founding members. He's passed away. But one of the founding members of the Bhaktivedanta Institute and a certified genius, double PhD at 25 years old or whatever it was, you know, statistical physics and I don't know what the other thing was. And, you know, he spoke with Prabhupada often, you know, he and Bhakti Subhadamadhar Maharaj about the Bhaktivedanta Institute. So this is Sataputta's joke. Because it describes here that hearing and chanting, they have many subject matters for hearing and chanting. Anyone know the Bhagavatam with this hearing and chanting is compared to what animal? Anyone know? I want to make a tape someday, someone help me, of Prabhupada's animal sounds. Prabhupada sounds. He does dump trucks. He does, you know, spaceships. He does cars. Or dogs barking. So he says something like, kakadakra, kakadaka, something like that. Does anyone know what that animal is? Frog. Now, why is... And the frog is singing very happily. So, there's so many subjects. Prabhupada says, the birds, you hear them in the morning. They're having their kata. Where is worm? Where is worm? Where is worm? And Prabhupada said, the man wakes up and he's looking at the Wall Street Journal, he's saying, where's money, where's money, where's money? Mentality's the same. It may be more sophisticated, but the motivation is the same. So, what happens, many subject matters for hearing and chanting, compared to a frog, what happens when the frog is at night singing very nicely? He thinks, he's like Caruso, you know Caruso, the famous, I don't know, probably nobody knows him now, famous opera singer, supposed to have one of the best voices in the world. So the frog is singing, thinking, ah, some lady frog will be charmed by me and We can make beautiful music together. But what happens to the frog? What happens? Anyone know? Other than Maharaj. We know Maharaj knows. Some of the ladies know what happens? Huh? Yeah. The black snake comes, hears it, and comes and swallows it. And what is that black snake compared to?
Time.
Comes and swallows all of us. I mean, you can talk about whatever you want, but you're no better than the frog. And time will come. Everything finished. So there's so many subject matters for hearing and chanting. I'm just trying to figure out how to get there in time. I want to talk about the value of tolerance, a quality I'm short on, and therefore I was thinking about it yesterday. Because the Bhagavatam, I was getting some incense for our deities at Rasa Bihari Lal, and I saw a book, was Bhagavatam Stories. Little book. And I'm not criticizing, I'm sure it has its value. But it was so many stories. The subtitle was Amazing Stories of the Bhagavatam. But I flipped through the thing, there's no philosophy. Just amazing stories. So is the Bhagavatam, well, it's something my grandmother used to read, it's amazing stories. There's some allegory, you can learn good character by reading about the Pandavas and how they... But other than that, you know, it's superficial frosting on the cake. Rather, the Bhagavatam deals with the existential, essential condition of humankind. As they say in America, the Bhagavatam does not mince words. The Bhagavatam is talking about what we are going through, what we are experiencing. It's showing. Here's, you know, I don't know if they have it in India, but you have a mall. Well, you can, on Google, you are here. You know, you can see your position on the map. You read the Bible. I was thinking about myself. Well, hey, there I am, lamenting about this, lamenting about that. This is my condition. So the Bhagavatam tells us exactly, stripped of all politeness, stripped of all superficiality, here's where you are at, and here's what you need to do. And if you do it, here's where you go, back home, back to Godhead. It is the essential message for humankind. It is the only message that will solve any of the problems. Everything else, they have a saying in America, is like shuffling the deck chairs on the Titanic. The Titanic is going down. You know that, what is it? The unsinkable Titanic on its maiden voyage. Material nature was more than willing to accept the challenge and sunk the thing. So, you shuffle the lawn chairs or the deck chairs on the Titanic. What is the use? The band played on. As the thing was sinking, the band was on the deck playing. What is that? I want a lifeboat. I don't want a violin. So, Sariputta's joke, that's what I wanted to tell, because it'll help us lead into the next thing. They have given up. They think there are no answers. All of this, either it's Sankhya philosophy, Mimamsa philosophy, there's no solution, there's no relief. When I was a kid, there was a little ditty we used to sing. I don't know if they still do. Row, row, row your boat, gently down the stream. Anyone know the rest? Merrily, 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 merrily. Life is but a dream. And you're a kid, you know, I guess just row your boat and hope for the best and enjoy the ride. So they're indoctrinated because they're frustrated. Here's Sariputta's example. They think there's no answer. Therefore, they need the Vaishnava Sangha. They need book distribution. They need prasadam. They need festivals. I had a friend who's now a devotee, initiated devotee. He was in London and he was in his car and he was miserable. He was in a taxi. It was, you know, England, when the sun is shining, is probably very beautiful. When the sun's not shining, it can be a dismal's the right word. It can be a dismal place, no offense. So it was raining, and it was kind of it was mud puddle splashing that black brown water all over everybody. And he was in this taxi cab in the back seat. He told me. And he was thinking, I'm going from somewhere stupid to somewhere stupid, and I'm thinking something useless on the way. I'm not happy. None of these people on the street are happy. He said, the taxi cab driver's not happy. Nobody is in this world is happy. And just then, because he was at a stoplight, in the crosswalk, or the pedestrian thing, the devotees on Hari Nam came dancing. Now, the devotees had green rubber army boots, because we don't wear leather and it was raining. They had polyester dhotis. We didn't have any dhotis from India. They had polyester, you remember the sheets of, bed sheet or whatever it was. What else? And they had long underwear on. American long underwear. So you've got this orange and yellow cloth flapping. You can see their long underwear. They're in rubber boots. They're in the rain. They're in the exact same situation as everybody else. And the devotees were blissful. He thought one of two things, three things. He said, okay, they're on drugs. They've escaped from a mental institution. Or they have found something sublime, something that's not material. Those are his three. What else do you think when you see something like that? So immediately he came to the temple, long story short, he became a devotee. So they think there's no answer. And here's Sataputra's joke. I hope you like it. He told it to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada liked it. So there it is. It's bona fide. A man comes home to his house at night, and he's drunk. In America, there's so many drunks. You think you have drunks here, practically speaking. It's hard to find a sober person Friday, Saturday night, isn't it? So the man comes home. He's completely intoxicated, and he's trying to put his key in the door. So his house is here, okay? He's trying to put his key, and he drops his keys. There's no light there. He's in the dark, feeling around, trying to find his keys to open the door. Some time goes by, and he moves, and I'll tell you where he moves to. He moves. The man next door comes home, sees his neighbor, obviously in a, disheveled shape, crawling around on all fours out by the street. Under the street light. Door is here, but this guy's looking under the stoplight, street light out by the street. So his friend says, what are you doing out here? He said, oh, I dropped my keys up by the front door, so I'm looking for them. His friend said, well, why aren't you looking by the door? He said, there's no light there, but there's a light here. You follow? So they're looking. They think there must be an answer in material nature. There's no other answer. There's no spiritual, sublime, transcendental nature. So let me just look here, So, the Bhagavatam, and I was thinking about this just for fun. Language is an indicator of people's experience. Like the Eskimos, they have so many words for snow. I imagine the Hottentots in the Sahara have so many different types of sand or whatever it is, So the language is expressing their experience. You want to have some fun? Look at the Oxford Unabridged. Look up happiness. It's a couple pages, the synonyms. Look up suffering. Pages and pages about suffering. What does that mean? If you get the wrong answer, you still get prasadam. What does the fact that there's only a few pages on happiness and page after page on suffering, what does it mean about human experience? Yeah? Yeah, a lot more suffering. Yeah, suffering is the larger quotient of human experience. That's why it's in the language. So in America, they must have in India also. In America, they say, it's always darkest before the dawn. You got to take the bitter with the sweet. Every cloud has a silver lining. And in this way, they're dredging on hope against hope. Because they don't think there must be some answer in the material nature. So, I'm doing some fast editing. Prabhupada says, persons who lack knowledge, this is in the purport, of self-realization certainly lament. Persons who lack knowledge of self-realization certainly lament. I was in L.A. Ratha Yatra. I serve in the free prasadam booth, which you just, everybody knows. You get to Ratha Yatra in L.A., thousands, tens of thousands of people. They've all been chanting and dancing in the sun. They arrive, they see Lord Jagannath go up on his, you know, stage there. What is the next thing that crosses their mind? Prasadam. And you just see this wave of humankind just turn, and here they come, Prabhus. Waves of people looking, it's so much fun, you know. So once everything was going, I slipped out and I wanted to hear the question and answer booth. I liked it, you know. Jayadvaita Swami was in the booth and I wanted to hear what he had to say. So I walked up, he was in the middle of an answer. And it could have been men, it happened to be women, I'm not picking on women, I'm just narrating the fact. There were these two very large women. As we say in America, they were land whales. They were big, they were jumbo size, right? So I'm trying to see around them, you know, to see Jayadvaita Swami, you know. I just, you know, and I'm trying, they're big size. But I can hear Jayadvaita Marsh speaking. And he says, the beginning of spiritual life, the essential foundation, the beginning of happiness is understanding that we are not this body. And one of the large ladies said to her friend, well, that's a relief. Which is true, you know. It's such a relief. Wait a minute, I'm not trapped in this thing forever. Wait a minute, I'm somebody, forget it. You know, hold the music. I'm getting off the merry-go-round. I'm something else. Okay? And then to understand that there's, what does Krishna say? Yet there's another nature. You know, explains all about the material nature. And he says that yet there's another nature. When this nature is finished, the material nature, which is constantly mutable, there's another nature that's timeless, that is not annihilated when this, you know, material nature is, well, wait a minute. There's an eternal dimension. And I'm spirit soul, and that's my home. So that, without understanding that, people will simply lament. Because there's no other answer. Now, because of the time factor, I wanted to say a few things about lamentation. But I'll say this first. I'm a sannyasi, trying to be a sannyasi. Prahladananda Maharshi knows you have this experience. People come up to you all the time and say, Swamiji, give me your blessings. You don't even know who they are. You don't know what their condition in life is. Give me your blessings. It's like you're an ATM machine or you're like an x-ray machine. Zzz, zzz, line them up. Zzz, zzz, you know? What don't give me your blessings? What, you know? So, Hari Sariprabhu told me this. That Prabhupada was writing, I don't know where he was coming from Mayapur to Mayapur, I'm not sure. But he was in Bengal. Early in the morning, Prabhupada's doing his translating work. You know, Prabhupada said, I have to choose each word carefully. These will stand like law books for humankind for the next 10,000 years. Ramaswar heard it, Hari Kesh heard it, Hari Sari heard it. Three sources. They'll stand like law books for the next 10,000 years. So Prabhupada said, I have to choose every word carefully. So he's trying, you know, he's doing his translating work. And there were some Bengali gentlemen, you know, Chatterjee, Mukherjee, Banerjee, you know, whatever. And they wanted to get into Prabhupada's compartment on the train, you know, and they, you know. So Hari Sari said that he was there with Hari Kesh. And they were like rugby, you know, they were trying to block them from getting in. And these guys are trying to get in. Somehow they got around. So they came in. Prabhupada looked up. And they said, oh, Swamiji, Swamiji, give us your blessings. And, you know, they're used to, you know, Ashtavad, Shanti, Shanti, here, you know. Prabhupada, you know, was not that kind of ATM. Prabhupada asked, and what are those blessings? You know, what blessings are you asking for? So the man said, one of the men, you know, I've got this rheumatism. I have this pain in my knee. Can you help me with this? Prabhupada made a face like, wrong, you know, wrong. And the guy was, you know, perceptive. He said, happiness for my family. My family be happy. Prabhupada again made a face, wrong answer. So the man could understand, like a concentric circle radiating out. The man said, and happiness for the world, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Prabhupada again made a face, wrong answer. So Prabhupada said, you want my blessings? And he pointed to Satsarupa Maharaj, skinny, austere, saffron cloth, Satsarupa Swami. He says, you want my blessings? take this saffron cloth. Oh, no, Swamiji. Oh, no. They were gone. It was actually, Prabhupada got rid of them in a gentlemanly fashion. He got rid of them, so they left him to do his translating work. I mean, Prabhupada's working on many levels. But he also made the profound point. So what are those blessings in this world? So with that as a preface, Bhishmadev. Bhishmadev on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, his instructions for humankind. And Yudhisthira was lamenting, and rightly so, with good reason, on one hand. So I like to read those periodically, and I've just selected a few out of Bhishma's instructions for humankind. And he says that how to conquer over desire and avarice. This is what's causing our lamentation. I want it, I need it, I'm envious, he's got it, I don't have it, I had it, I lost it, I've got it, but it's brand X, I want better, bigger, new, improved, whatever it is. These are churning us, and everyone's disturbed. Everybody's disturbed in the material world. So what to do? Bhishmadev says, one learns to tolerate. By toleration. And I'm going to give some examples. He goes on further about tolerate. But I just want to present that tolerance is actually the cure. Not acquiring. Not learning how to pull all the levers of material nature and get what we want. It burns like fire and never satisfied, Krishna says. But if one learns the art of tolerance, it's not going to solve my problems anyway. Why be in such a feverish pitch about it? So then he says, and one of the things that grows out of that, anger after frustration, the Rudra principle. Another thing that grows out of that is anger. We're angry, we're envious. Does anyone know how Bhishmadev says to conquer anger? Punch him in the nose. Get your just results. They say in America it's not enough to succeed, but you have to see your enemy fail. Then you've got the full sandwich, that you succeeded, you can drive by and they're out there selling apples on the street corner with splash mud on them in your brand new Mercedes. Ah, very good. Does anyone know, other than, I know Prahlad Maharshi, Ananda Maharshi knows all these things, so. Does anyone know, some of the ladies want to guess, how you conquer anger? Are you in a sari? Any of the ladies want to say? Huh? Ah, who said that? One learns to forgive. You don't conquer. You don't get revenge. You learn to forgive. Rabindra Sarup tells a story. They invited a professor in Philadelphia, Indian. He could have been anything. He just happened to be Indian. But Rabindra thought, okay, he's Indian. He's teaching philosophy. He must be, pious or something. So Rabindra invited him. Turns out he was a fundamentalist Christian. Now, we have bogus Vaishnavas and Hindus. We have nice Christians, so don't, go mental on me. But this particular case, he was a fundamentalist Christian, this Indian professor. And he said to Srila Prabhupada, he said, I see that you're a Krishna Bhakta. I am a Christian. He said, your Krishna is immoral. My Jesus was moral. Your Krishna is immoral. He's dancing with other men's wives. He was very, thought, there, I've got Prabhupada in a box, Prabhupada saw that the man had a ring on his finger. In America, they wear a ring. So Prabhupada said, so you're married? The man said, yes, I am. Prabhupada said, what are you doing with one of Krishna's gopis? He said, you are stealing from Krishna. Krishna is the only Purusha. Everyone else is Prakriti. Why are you stealing from Krishna? And the guy was shocked. He never thought of it that way. That everything's meant for Krishna's pleasure. And Krishna's, doesn't mean you don't get married. I'm not saying all that. But the fact is that everything should be used for Krishna's service. He's the only Purusha. We're all Prakriti. The guy, Prabhupada jammed his gears and he didn't have an answer. So he became angry. And ultimately he began shouting at Prabhupada. To the point, Rabindra Prabhu said, Brahmananda, big size Brahmananda. Brahmananda comes along, was in the room, puts his hand on the guy's shoulder. I think you better leave now. And Rabindra said, Brahmananda just picked the guy up and tossed him out the front door right down the stairs, I mean, I don't advocate, but still, it was certain satisfaction in it. But here's the point. When it was all done, Rabindra is so embarrassed, Prabhupada, I invited this man, and I'm so sorry that he was shouting at you, and devotees, you know, well, what's going to happen to him? Will he be like Ashwatthama wandering in the Himalayas? You know, will he have to drink boiling ghee? Well, how will he be going to, you know, Vaishnavapara to a sterling person like Srila Prabhupada? What will happen to him? So they were in a circle, maybe six or seven devotees. They all offered their proposed remedy. When they all finished, drink boiling ghee, live in the Himalayas, you know, whatever it is, came to Prabhupada. You know what Prabhupada said? Prabhupada said, I must have offended him in his previous life, and now he's come to take his revenge. So what should we do? Forgive him. That's how Prabhupada saw the thing. I've committed that. I mean, Prabhupada's a, you know, a fenceless person. Still, Prabhupada was thinking, oh, I must have offended him. Now he's taking his revenge. No big deal. And how will he be freed from the offense? You forgive him. So this ability to conquer anger and this ability to tolerate. Prabhupada said the measure of a person's strength. Many, many years ago when I was a householder, I took my kids to, in New York, is that Ripley's Museum? You ever been there? Well, don't follow my advice. I was a householder, I had something to do with my kids, so I took them to Ripley. And they've got all these far out things, amazing, you know. They had a guy who could pull a train with his teeth. Took a while to get it going, but once he got it going, he could pull the train with his teeth. I thought, okay, you know, I don't know exactly what you're going to use. I don't know what the practical application of that ability is, but okay. He can open a bottle, I guess. It might come in handy. So, what is the and there were so many feats of strength. You know, you can, Olympics is all feats of strength. You can lift this, you can jump this, you can go so fast. Prabhupada said, do you know how you measure a person's strength? Do you know? Prabhupada said, you learn to tolerate. Prabhupada said, the purpose of Gurukula is to teach the students how to tolerate. Just, you know, this instead of running around crazy like a dog chasing its tail, how to tolerate. So I wanted to say a few more things. Bhishma Dev says, free from unlawful desires. We have so many desires. How do we become free from unlawful desires? We have so many desires. You know? By not making plans, Bhishma Dev says. Now that doesn't mean we make plans, I'm going to get to that in a second, hopefully if we have time, but making plans for Krishna. That's a whole other thing. But making all these plans, what is Prabhupada's story? There's the man who has a pot of yogurt. He's a villager. And he's going to go into town and sell his yogurt. So he's lying on his bed thinking, this yogurt. With this yogurt I'll buy some seeds. With some seeds then I'll get a good crop. With a good crop I can buy a cow. When I have a cow, I need a wife. She'll marry me because I have land and a cow. She'll marry me. And she'll milk the cow. And if she gives me a hard time, he's lying on his bed sleeping. He has a stick. He says, and if she gives me a hard time, I'll chastise her with my stick. And when he does that, he breaks the yogurt pot. He's lost everything. So he had a big plan, A, B, C, D, but he lost everything. So factually, that is our situation. We lose everything ultimately. So making big, big plans, I'm going to do this, I'm going to... I was in the room. Prabhupada said, I have my plan, you have your plan, and Krishna has his plan. Guess whose plan happens? And what do we know? I mean, I don't know about you. You may all be prescient and, you know, be able to see past, present, and future. But I'm just an idiot. I'm some dog that some Vaishnava threw a japati. You know, somehow or other, I got to be a Vaishnava in this life. What do I know? What big plan? Let me just hear the words of my spiritual master, hear the words of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, let me just serve the Sankirtan mission. That kind of plan, how to increase our service. You know, if you're a pujari, how to dress the deities nicely, how to get better flowers, how to get the best oil, so many plans. You're a Sankirtan devotee, you know, how to distribute books, where's a good place, how to stop them, so many things. Whatever our service. That kind of plan has nothing to do with us. But you make that kind of plan, then you become completely free from anger, avarice, like that. And I wanted to say, because it is close to time, Bhishma Dev says, one can conquer over worldliness. They're all shades of the same thing. But you know, worldliness... I got bigger, better. Oh, look at the nice curtains I've got. Look at my new car. Look at my beautiful wife. Oh, I got rid of her. I got a new wife. You know, whatever it is. All those calculations. Worldliness. It says, Bhishma Dev says one can conquer over worldliness by knowledge of impermanence. Just like we're describing here. If we just know this whole thing is a... what is the use? You stack it all up, it's all going to be taken away. What is the use? And it's not taken away, not often, in one fell swoop, but it's taken away piece by piece by piece. You get old, you get enfeebled, your teeth get loose, nobody cares about you, and who's going to take care of the old man, you know? Well, somebody will throw him at your potty every now and then. So, knowledge of impermanence, one gives up worldliness, not by trying to acquire or achieve. We have Hiranyakasipu, who was the best. He got it. He achieved it. He was managing all the levers in the entire universe. And he was completely in anxiety. Completely full of fear, completely in anxiety, completely full of envy. Prahlad Maharaj just surrendered to Krishna. And he's completely happy, so much so that he's merciful to his father who tried to kill him. So we should just take a lesson. Which plan worked? Prahlad's plan or Hiranyakasipu's? So there's only two more I want to say from Bhishma Dev. Well, I just say this because of the time. He says, perfect knowledge is obtained by self-cultivation. Perfect knowledge is attained by self-cultivation. What does that mean? Prabhupada describes in the purport. We have to work at it. We have to make... Malati Devi told me, she was at, I think it was South India, but somewhere. Prabhupada came out of a pandal. And again, you know, sadhu is like an ATM. Someone grabbed Prabhupada's foot. Prabhupada actually had to pull it. You couldn't, you know. He said, oh, Swamiji, Swamiji, save me, save me. Anyone know what Prabhupada said? You say Shanti, Shanti, Ashtavad. What did you say? That. We know you know, Marsh. Some of the men know. It was ladies' turn last time. What did Prabhupada say? He said, yes, I can save you, but you must do the work. You have to do, we have to do the work. It's all laid out. What is it? There's an analogy in the Bhagavatam. It says that the great saints have gone back to Godhead, but they've left their boat for crossing the river, you know, the Vairaja River, the ocean of birth and death. They've left their boat behind in the form of their instructions, their examples and their instructions. So we have to do the work. It's all there. It's simple. How to become peaceful and happy and satisfied in this world. How to make plans for serving Krishna. And how at the end of this life, go back to Godhead. Why not? So, I think, well, I wanted to say this, and we will end here. We got 2 minutes. Prabhupada, Malati told me this. That 1972, what was the year that Prabhupada first came with the devotees? Something like that, you know, to Vrindavan. And they met one man who said, let me tell you something about your Swamiji. I think it's fast, anyway. Let me tell you something about your Swamiji. He lived near the temple on the other side of the wall for Radha Damodar. And he said, I used to hear at night, late at night, someone calling out loudly with deep feeling, almost crying. He said, I heard it, you know, and I heard it again. So finally, you know, curiosity, who is this? What is this? And he looked over the wall, and in front of Rupa Goswami's samadhi, Prabhupada had one of those, you know, you put the sticks together and it makes a broom. And he was sweeping the dust in Rupa Goswami's samadhi. And he was calling out, hey Rup, hey Sanatan, please give me your mercy. He didn't say this part, but he was asking how to spread this movement. But he was sweeping as a simple, humble, nobody was around, nobody could see materially, wasn't showing off or, you know, faults. But he was sweeping, praying, give me your mercy. Let me become an instrument in your hand. Harisari told me this one, similar. And I don't know whether it was Srivas Anga. Someone could find out and let me know. Either it's Srivas Anga or Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Samadhi. Srivas Anga.
It's in the book of Friend to
Yeah, we'll see. I want a second confirming source. Anyway, either Srivasanga, our Prabhu is saying Srivasanga, he's probably right. So either Srivasanga or Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Samadhi. Now, as a young man, you know, Prabhu was living in Calcutta, he would go out there often, and he knew the pujari who was also a young man. You know, they became, you know, it's natural. You're devoted, you become friendly. And then Prabhu was gone for something like 25 years, a long time, 30 years, something. He hadn't seen him. So the pujari told Harisara this. He came out and he saw an old man crying, shedding, just sitting by himself, crying. It was Srila, and he walked over, he looked, he said, Bhai Babu? Prabhupada called him by his name, and they, you know, once you, the eyes will tell you who the person is. So he, oh, how are you? So the man, at Prabhupada had come out, the next day he was getting on the Jaladut. So he'd come out, maybe it was a day or two before him, but he'd come out to offer prayers, and he was crying. And the man asked, you know, Bhai Babu, you know, our Prabhupada, why are you crying? He said, my Guru Maharaj has given me an impossible mission. I do not know how I can accomplish it. So with that, sweeping in front of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami's Samadhi, Bhajan Kutir, and with that calling, please, if we make that kind of plan, you have your house. I was a householder. I had a business. I made money, you know, for the temple and for my family. We're not talking. But if you make a meditation, how can I make a plan to spread the Krishna consciousness movement? These people are simply lamenting. I'm lamenting. They're lamenting. There's no answer. Let me think how to spread the Krishna consciousness movement, how to distribute books, how to worship the decently, nicely, so the devotees will be enlivened to go out and preach. If we make those plans, we'll be completely free from all anxiety, all lamentation. And Prabhus and Vaishnavis, it's the only answer. Sorry, it's the only answer. Okay, we'll end there. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.